We're holding on page Membes in Yoma, second line from the bottom, middle voice, Pebes. We learned in the Mishnah about person said about the difference between Averis Shemiron Lamokim and Averis Shemiron Machaveroi, that Hashem forgives, but the Yom Kippur is chaper, but your Averis Shemiron Machaveroi person has to ask Mechila. So the Gemara says, Romi le Rabbi Yosef Achovu Rabbi Yosef Achovu pointed out a contradiction to Rabbi Bohu. Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, so we're saying that Yom Kippur is not meratze for Averis Shemiron unless is not mechaper for Averis Shemiron unless a person is meratze, unless he goes and appeases the other person and whatever that takes, whether we're talking verbally, whether we're talking financially, whatever. So Uraminu though, because the Pasuk says, and we said, because the Pasuk says, from all of your Averis in front of Hashem, you will be forgiven, you will be cleansed, meaning that it's only the ones that are Lifnei Hashem. The problem with that is, you have a Pasuk in Shmuel like this. You have the story over there where Bnei Eli, Chofni, and Pinchas are not acting properly. They're taking parts from the korbanos that they shouldn't and taking them too early. They're being careless, bringing the korbanos of women who gave birth, etc. So the Pesukim describe over there that Eli gives them musa for it, and they didn't listen to him. So the Pasuk says, he says to them, I want you to realize how serious an Aveira is to Hashem. Im yechta ish le'ish, if a person sins against another person, ufiloloi elikim, then elikim will piloloi. Now, we're assuming at this point, Rashi explains, the word piloloi is related to the word tefillah, and elikim would be Hashem, meaning that Hashem is willing to accept his tefillah, so he sinned against another person, Hashem is willing to accept his tefillah. But then Avi is continuing, but if you sin against Hashem, who's going to be mechaper for you? So therefore, doesn't that show that Aveda spent Adam Lachaveroi are less serious because all a person has to do is daven and he'll be forgiven? The answer is no. Man Elikim Dayonim. No, on the contrary, the word Elikim in this pasuk over here means the Dayonim, and Rashi explains in that case the word Ufiloloi does not mean Meloshet Tefillah, but rather judging, like you have the pasuk for Nosan Biflilin. So meaning faked, when a person has acted badly towards somebody else, there's going to be a din Torah in front of the dayanim, and they're going to tell him what he needs to pay or whatever, and only then can he be forgiven. So the Gemara asks. Yehochi emas sefer. Well, then, if you're going to understand it that way, what about the continuation of the pasuk, which continues the im la'shem yechter ish? The Eli continues talking to his sons and tells them, but if a person sins against Hashem, mi yispaloloi, who's going to daven for him? If you're going to tell me that the word ofiloloi in the beginning of the pasuk means to judge, the pashto is also the end of the pasuk also mi yispalo is also meloshin judging. So what do you mean? Hashem has lots of ways of judging and punishing the person. What would Eli mean by that? So no, Ella Hachikam. Rather, we have to say Eli does mean he means as follows. There is a difference between Ufiloloi and Yispalo. Im yechta ish le'ish, if a person sins against another person, does an avera ben anam machaveroi, ufiloloi, and then he goes to a din Torah and appeases him, or does whatever it is, whatever it takes in order to appease the other person, elikim yim chaloi, then Hashem will forgive him, and that's that, because now he's accomplished what he needs to. He asked mechila from the other person, and that's what Hashem needs. Vim la'shem yechta ish, but Eli continues to them, if a person sins against Hashem, mi yispaloloi, what is going to daven, what is going to stand up on his behalf unless he does tshuva. Tshuva ma'isim tovim, that's what he's going to need. So Eli is telling them, in short, you're doing Averis ben Adam Lamokim because you're treating the Korbanos very, very disrespectfully. So therefore you better be doing tshuva because that's what you need. Otherwise, how is Hashem going to forgive you? So that's how Rashi learns. Marsha says, though, the problem with that is, why did the Gemara even assume that Ufiloloi and Yispalo are the same thing? The fact is, we know there are two different things. One means judging, and the other one is Meloshin Tefillah. Now, there is a drasha that says, for example, that's famous verse that says that Tefillah itself is called that because it's a time of self-judgment, at the time when a person needs to be judging himself and make a cheshbon of whether he's roi for the Eishtes Brachos, and therefore it's called Tefillah. But at least on a simple sense, these are two different things. So Marsh, what? Which means that I didn't judge myself. I didn't imagine for myself that I would possibly ever see your face. Yaakov says to Yosef, yeah. So Marsha explains, no, like this. Everybody agrees that there are two different lashonas over here, mishpat and tefillah, respectively. The Gemara, the flow of the Gemara then is like this. The Gemara thought, when it says, yechtel ish le'ish u'filah lo elikim, means that Hashem is going to judge him and punish him for doing what he did against the other person. Whereas the Mishnah is saying that ad shi'iratze es chavera, that he needs to ask the other person for mechila. And that's the answer was, yeah, the dayonim have to get involved and they judge the person and then that way he gets forgiven. But then what about v'im la'ashem yechta ish mi yispal alay? The question is, you could argue then the same thing on the face of it when it comes to a person did ben on alakim. Also, there are punishments by the dayonim and then Hashem will forgive him. He's a chiz chayiv malchus, for example. He gets malchus, he's potter from Karis. Even Misas Beis Din, for that matter, then is mechaper for a person. So yeah, that's what it means. Im yecht ish le'ish or filaloy lekim, the dayan judges the case. That's it. The person pays what he's supposed to, and that's it. There's nothing more. Im la'ashem yecht ish. It's not enough that the dayan gives him malchus or misa. He still needs to do tshuva, like we had before. The shlosha or abar chalukah kapara. Even you have, for example, a person has yom kippur or yisurim or whatever. Each one we said tshuva im kalecha bechad. So therefore, Eli is informing his sons. You have to realize every kind of thing, no matter what kind of thing it is that Hashem might do to you, and you think it's going to be enough to clean up your Averis, it's not unless you also do trouble. And therefore, you have to do trouble. So therefore, but yes, that pasuk still bears out the point in the Mishnah that if it was something bent on a machaveri, then there has to be that he goes and appeases the other person, which may indeed involve Alekim, as in the Dayonim. In other words, there may be an actual case of Din Torah where they judge and say Tenlo, that you are obligated to give him X amount. The Gemara goes on, when a person angers or upsets somebody else, even if it was only verbal, he needs to ask him, he needs to make him feel better. The pasuk says, Bni, im if you have become an orev for another person, exactly that, you became and you verbally agreed that you're going to be an orev, you've done a tkias kaf, you've done a handshake with a stranger, and you've said that you're willing to be an orev, a guarantor for a loan. And it also includes that. And the pasuk continues. The next pasuk continues. Nekashtav imreficha. If you've gotten tripped up, if you've gotten trapped by the words of your mouth, for example, in other words, that you said something to him that you shouldn't have. Nekashtav imreficha. You've been also nekashta and nekashta are both words meaning trapped. A moikish is a trap. Nekashtav is like you've been netted, whatever. The imreficha with what you've said. So Shlomo continues, so this is what you should do, my son, meaning my Talmud, and be saved. Because you've come into your fellow Yid's hand, meaning in other words, that you now owe him something. He says, go hisrapes and increase your friends. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, hisrapis means something like humble yourself. In modern Hebrew, for example, you have the word hitrapsut, which means like kowtowing and like completely having a almost like bittul, but like more than that, whatever. Anyway, so what it means is im momen yeshle biyadcha, if you actually owe him money, as in the case where you became an orev, hatir le pisas yad, then hisrapis is hatir pas, open up the palm of your hand and give him what he's supposed to. Pay him up, in other words, the imlav, and if not, if it's not a matter of money, but rather it's a matter that you spoke badly to him and you insulted him, harbe olav rehim, reim, go increase the number of friends, go bring friends along to help ask mechila. Rashi points out the word re'echa there in the pasuk is meant to be understood as the plural. Rashi says it's written mole, actually, our Tanakhs have it written chaser, but nevertheless, we understand it to be in the plural, there have to be friends involved. Marsha mentions over here something that he explains. This Gemara is also brought in Bava Basra in connection with all the dinim of Orev over there. Marsha explains the vote is also, you as the Orev may not have the full amount to pay on the spot. So if you can, then pay it up and be done with it. If not, Harbi Olav Reim, go bring along some friends to ask the guy to give you an extension and allow you to pay it off piecemeal or whatever. Otherwise, you're going to go bankrupt. But the point is, here in the context of our Gemara, it means, in other words, that Shlomo is saying there can be two ways in which you owe somebody one. There can be financially, or there can be emotionally. And either way, you have to deal with it and you have to take care of it. So the Lashon Rahab would actually be Lashon Harbi, right? I mean, the word Rahab, the simple sense of the word Rahab means pride. So it can also mean set your pride aside and bring along friends to ask Mechila. It can also mean help him feel proud that he's so important that you're bringing a bunch of friends to help ask Mechila. You don't think it should just be a one-on-one thing. But yeah, in the simple sense, it's Darshaning, Rahab, Meloshan Harbe, yeah. So, Omer of Chista, v'tzorech lefaisa b'sholosh shuris shol shlosh b'nei adam. When you're asking the person mechila, you have to take along three groups of three people each. A shura means a row, and Rashi refers to a Gemara in Beitza that says a row of people is defined as at least three. Now, does this mean to begin with, when you're going to ask Mechila, right away you should bring a group of three? Or does it mean the first time you just ask by yourself, and then if he doesn't listen, then if he doesn't want to accept it from you, then you bring along the three friends? The Rambam says the second way, many other Rishonim say the first way, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. To begin with, bring along the three friends. Obviously, I guess it's a case-by-case thing. If you know if it's a minor kind of thing, we're going to have examples soon in the Gemara where people ask Mechila one-on-one, so apparently it's not always that you have to take along three, but if you realize that the person is not likely to accept it personally from you, then take along three.
What's the three rows of three? That's nine.
So that's mean, in other words, that all together, in other words, you try the first time with three people. If he's not willing to accept, try again with another three people. Marsha points out that it has a much greater effect, the same way as we find by Yaakov when he sent the animals to Esav, the Revach Tassimu, Ben Eder, Las Bia Do Ene Shalosa Rosha, as Rashi says over there. He feels it's a much bigger gift. He thinks, wow, this is it that he gave me already, and then all of a sudden there's more. So the same way, now when the person has a second group and then a third group coming to him, that has much more of an effect than having nine people all at once. Where do we get these three rows of people? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yosher ala Noshim, the Pasuk describes, he should go make rows, Yosher Meloshin Shura, on people, meaning there are people that he acted badly to. The previous Pesukim are talking about how a person goes through Yisurim and does Tshuva. So he goes around to people, the Yomar, and he should say, Chotosi, I've sinned, the Yosher Hevesi, I've made crooked what should have been straight, Velo Shavali, and it wasn't even worth it to me. This is where we get the Loshen in Tachnun, Velo Shavalanu comes based on this Pasuk. Like we're saying, not only we did Averis, at least if we gain something from it, we'd have at least some excuse, but we don't even have that. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, so here you have three expressions, Chotosi, the Yosher Hevesi, Velo Shavali, therefore that represents three kinds of asking Mechila, and since it says Yosher, Meloshin Shura, then therefore we learn that each one has to be a group of three. Marsha refers to the Ran, who gives a different explanation of it, because the next line of Gemara explains that you have to ask three times. So then, based on that is why you have the three groups.
Yosher, you're doing twice, Yosher.
So Chatosi, the Yosher Hevesi, Veloy Shavali. Chatosi means I sinned. The Yosher Hevesi, what should have been straight, I made crooked. Veloy Shavali, and it wasn't worthwhile to me. I didn't even gain anything. Yosher is Meloshin Shura. Making a row of people to go and ask Mechila. Yeah. And the Gemara continues, Amar Yosef bar Chanina, kol mevakesh motu mechaveroi, when a person is asking forgiveness from his friend. Motu literally means to incline, like the person should incline, like noite, to forgive him. Al yevakesh menu Yosef megimel pamim, he shouldn't ask more than three times. Shenemar, as we find by the brothers with Yosef. Hoisoim really Yosef, when they're afraid after Yaakov has passed away that Yosef is going to take revenge on them, go tell Yosef, they send a messenger, Onna, please, Sonna Pesha Achecha B'chatosim Ugema, please forgive the rebelliousness of your brothers and their sin, Ugema, Va'ata Sonna Ugema, and please now forgive. So they're saying three times Na, so therefore we learn, Ein Na, L'loshin Bakosha, so it means three times. So now that shows three times, but how does that show the maximum is three times though? Marsha points out because Yosef is surely willing to forgive them after the first time. He doesn't have to wait for the third time. Why does the Pasuk bother mentioning the three times to teach us that that's how much it should be? Now, there's a machlokas rishonim. Does that mean that taka, you must stop after three, or are you allowed to go beyond that? One way of looking at it is, since the Gemara goes on to say, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, but actually the Gemara does have it a little bit soon, that after all, the other person should be an achzori milimcha, he should forgive. And if he doesn't forgive after three times, he's the one being achzori, and you don't need to ask him anymore. So maybe adarabba, you shouldn't ask him, because then every time you're causing him to do another aveira. On the other hand, maybe not. The Gemara is going to give an example soon with Rav that he was machmir on himself. So maybe it is legitimate to ask more than three times, and just al pi halacha, you're not required to ask more than three times.
So it sounds like the Rambam required.
Okay, so the Rambam seems to be machmir that you're not required, but there are some rishonim who learn that it means you're not allowed to because you don't want to cause that he's going to do an avin. What about the immes? What happens if the person that you wronged had since passed away? You take 10 people and you stand them by his caver. You say, I sinned against Hashem, the God of Israel, and against Ploini, whom I wounded or did whatever it is to. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it mentions that's talking about if you insulted or harmed him or whatever while he was alive and he's since passed away. If it was only that a person insulted somebody after he passed away, then he doesn't necessarily need the 10 people by the favor. Then it's enough to just state publicly that he did it and ask mechila. Okay, the Gemara continues. Reb Yumia, there was a situation where Reb Abba had something against him. Reb Yumia had done something to offend Reb Abba. So Reb Yumia went to sit by Reb Abba's door, waiting. When Reb Abba comes out, then I'll ask him the chila. Nafka amse v'shadule knisha maya. Reb Abba's maidservant all of a sudden came out of the door and was throwing out the dirty water, akokalta, on the garbage heap. Or the other gear said that you have in the printed Gemara, Bahadya to Shadya Amsamaya, as she was pouring out the water. Either way, anyway, Mutta Zazifi de Maya Reshe, drops of water landed on Reb Yumia's head. Omar, so he says, Asuni Ashba, look at this, they made me into a garbage heap. The Kori Anafshe, so Reb Yumia applied to himself the pasuk, may Ashba is Yorim Evia, and Hashem will lift up the poor man out of the garbage heap. Marsha points out that actually you have Reb Yumia is actually in Halal today, so very, very, very much as Man Grama. But Marsha points out that the name Yumia itself is related to the word Yorim. Yumia means Yorim Yudke. Hashem will raise me up. So he knew that this is a good simon that Hashem will lift me up. Shavke b'kazel, so the Ein Yaakov's gear says Shavke b'kazel means he got up and was leaving. The printed Gemara doesn't have that. Anyway, Shomer Rab Abba heard what had happened. Nofak Abasre. So again, we have two different girsos. The girsa of Ein Yaakov is Nofak Abasre. He went to follow him. Adohochi heard Rab Yumia Abbe, but also Abasre. And meanwhile, Rab Yumia turned around and saw that he's coming. Omalo Leitzricha. And he's saying, now Rab Abba is saying, I don't need to wait for you to ask Mechila by me. Hashta Olai Romi, now it's on me. Or the Girsa and the printed Gemara is La'ape, that Rab Abba came out to greet him, a shorter Girsa. Omalei, now he says, Hashta Tzrichnala Mepak Adaita. Now, on the contrary, I'm the one who has to take it out of your das, in other words, to ask you Mechila. Like this, you came to ask me Mechila, in other words, that I have something in my das against you. Now it's the other way around because you got splashed by my maid servant. I'm the one who has to ask mechila by you. Dichtiv, as we have the pasuk that we quoted before, leichisrapis, go and humble yourself, or rahav reyecha, and go bring lots of friends. And again, rahav can also mean to treat the person in a way that'll make him feel proud and good about himself. So in short, Rab Abba is saying, never mind, you first came here to ask me mechila. On the contrary, I'm now the one who has to ask you mechila. And the Gemara, the Gemara gives another example. Reb Zera commanded Havale Milsa Bahadei. Whenever Reb Zera had a situation where he had something against somebody, where somebody else had insulted him or treated him badly or whatever, have a mamsile nafshe, Reb Zera would make himself available to the person, v'cholif v'toni kameh, and he would pass by repeatedly in front of the person, or mamsile, to be available, k'echad inesiv, nipukle midaite, this way the person can come out and take it out of Reb Zera's mind, and again ask mechila. In other words, Reb Zera didn't wait at home until the guy is going to come to ask him mechila. He didn't go and say, you have to ask me mechila either, but he made himself available, so this way, hopefully it'll prick the guy's conscience and make him realize, you know what, I treated Reb Zera badly, let me go ask him mechila. So this way he's making it as easy as possible for the person to do that. Now, another example, Rav Havalei Milsa Bahadiyahu Tabfa. It once happened that Rav had a situation with a certain butcher where, again, this butcher had done something to Rav that he shouldn't have. Also, Tresi Yauche Shata, 12 months passed, and the guy never showed up to ask mechila by Rav. Omar, so finally Rav says, so keep mota mala yomita kippuri v'le'osa, when it was ready Erev Yom Kippur, and particularly Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to ask mechila by another yid. So he still didn't. Omar, so Rav thought to himself, ezel ano l'fai say, fine, I'll go and I'll appease him. Meaning, in other words, that here it's the other way around. The guy had treated Rav badly, but now Rav is saying, you know what? This guy obviously thinks the other way around, that I'm the one who wronged him. So fine, I'll go ask him mechila. Pogabei Rav Huna, as Rav was walking over to the butcher, he Pogabei Rav Huna. Rav Huna met up with Rav as he was walking there. Omele Hecha calls Omar. He asks him, where are you going? Omele the Foyusi Laplanya. He says, I'm going to be Matthias, this Ploini, this butcher. Omar, so Rav said, uh-oh, Ozel Abba L'mikto Gavra. Abba is going to kill a person because Rav Huna knew this guy. He's not gonna treat Rav respectfully at all, and therefore he's going to be Chayiv Misa for being Mevazeh Tamid Chacham. How is Rav Huna calling Rav Abba? How is he calling Rav Abba? So one Tosfos Yeshanim points out there's two ways of looking at it. One is that Abba was Rav's first name. In that case, then obviously it can't be that Rav Huna is calling him that, because Rav Huna was his Talmud, and a Talmud can't call his Rebbe by his name. Rather, Tosfos Yeshanim says Abba is also a title of respect. And then throughout Shas, where you have, for example, Abba Shol, let's say, and other examples like that, where Abba is a title, like nowadays we use Reb. So in that case, he's not using Abba as his name. He's using Abba as a title for a Rebbe. Anyway, he's saying that I can see something not very good is going to come out of this. Also, Korah Bava. Well, Rav went and called by the door to say, I'm here. Can you let me in? Omale. So the guy answers back, Abba at, you're Abba. And here he's using Abba, obviously not as a title of respect, but rather as just his name. Zil, go away. Lesli milsabadoch. I have nothing to do with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Habakkuk Polygratia, this butcher, afterwards was cutting open the head of an animal on Erev Yom Kippur. Shamit Narga, the Narga would mean the axe. So the axe came loose, or the other Girsa in the printed Gemara is Grama, a bone broke off, Machia Resha, and hit him in the head, Vakatle, and killed him. So sure enough, Rav Huna was right. This guy was Mevazeh Rav, and he got what was coming to him. The Girsa in the printed Gemara actually is that the bone hit him, Bekue, which is in his neck. Which might be more mid. So either way, I mean, we have before the expression we were using for the expression the Gemara was using for being moiful is lemeipak midaite, to remove it from his das. So that might explain why he was punished with his head, and he spoke disrespectfully to Rav, which might explain why he was punished by having the bone hit him in the neck. Even though Rav had said, right, but he's moichel, but the other guy needs to ask mechila from him, on the contrary. So Rav is trying to make it easy for the guy to ask mechila, but since he showed that he's obviously not willing to, then he got what he gets for being mevazeh tamid chacham. Yeah. Here's another example involving mechila. Rav have a posik sidra kamei derem. Rav was one time explaining a sidra in front of Rebbe. Rashi explains a sidra would be a section of Nevi'im or Ksuvim. So they didn't have then the prokim that we have now in the printed Tanakhs. Those were invented about 1,000 years later by some Christian monk or whatever. But they have. You have obviously parashas Psuchas and Stumas in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, just like you have in Chumash, and you have topics. So Rav is going to be explaining a certain topic in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It's called a sidra. We actually find, by the way, at the end of every Chumash and at the end of every book of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you'll find where it gives simonim for the number of psukim and so forth, and also gives a number. It also gives a simon for the number of sdorim. There are actually some Tanakhs that have the notations for these sdorim printed on the sides. There's a theory that they have. If you count up according to one way that they're enumerated, it comes out there are, I think, 293 or something of them in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And the theory is that maybe they would learn one of them every day, every weekday throughout the year. If you count up the number of weekdays during the year, minus Shabbosis and Yom Tovim, you come out to about that number. So that way they would finish Tanakh once a year. They would finish Nach once a year. Anyway, so Rav was teaching one of these, well, was learning and teaching one of these sdorim in front of Rebbe. Ayo also Rav Chiya, in the middle, Rav Chiya walked in. Hodilarecha, so out of respect for Rav Chiya, Rav started over again. Ayo Bar Kapara, then Bar Kapara came in, was also one of Rebbe's senior Talmidim. Hodilarecha, again, Rav went back to the beginning so Bar Kapara wouldn't miss anything. Why they're coming late to Shia is a good question, but that's how it happened. I'm sure we can imagine they had important things to do. They weren't playing video games or something. But anyway. Also Rav Shimon ber Rebbe, then Rav Shimon ber Rebbe came, and also Hadol Reisha, and a third time Rav started over again. It mentions, by the way, such a thing in connection with Yutas Kislev, that the Friedrich ever brings in a sicha, I think, or in a sicha, or in the Chotei Dvarim or something, that Rav Nachum, the Mittel Rebbe's son, would every year tell over the story of Yutas Kislev, and if one of the Zikne Chassidim came in the middle, then he'd start all over again, out of respect for him. So yeah. Anyway. Then Rav Chanina b'Rav Chama came, and Omalei, and Rav says, "Called the Osi name a Hodul Reisha. What is every time a person comes in after start all over?" So no, I'm not starting over. I'm continuing where I was up to, and basically tough luck that you missed the beginning of it. Knock at Rav Chanina mil sabade. So now Rav Chanina had an objection on Rav that Rav had not treated him with the respect that he should have. So for the next 12 Erev Yom Kippurs, for the next 12 Erev Yom Kippur, Rav went to ask Mechila by Rav Chanina, and Rav Chanina was never appeased and never accepted the Mechila. The printed Gemara has the Girsa Tlesar, which is 13. Anyway, so we have to ask, both of them seem to be acting not the way we looked before. First of all, V'Heicha Ovid Hach. How is Rav going and asking Mechila so many times? Didn't we say before the maximum is three? And the answer is Rav Shain. Rav is different because he's machmer on himself. And where do we see his machmer on himself? Marsha says, with the story of the butcher just now. Rav could have said, the butcher was the one who insulted me. He should be the one to come to me. And instead, Rav is ready to go to ask him Mechila. So therefore we see that Rav was machmir with these kinds of things and benon machaber. There is a different explanation that Rishonim have. Rav Shiny doesn't mean Rav the person, means Rav as a Rebbe. Rav Chanina is a Rebbe of Rav, and therefore Rav learned by Rebbe primarily, but he also learned by Rav Chanina, and therefore the vote would be, when it comes to a Talmud to his Rebbe, then the three times limitation that we said before doesn't apply. A Talmud have to ask as Rebbe as many times as necessary, even if it's far more than three. So according to that would be why he did that. Okay, well, the question is the opposite. But Rav Chanina, how could Rav Chanina do that and not be Moichel Rav after all those times? Didn't Rav say that when a person is willing to forego his midos, so a person has acted badly to him and he would have every right to be offended by the other guy and to be upset at him, but if he is maver on that, he overlooks that and says that I'm willing to tolerate it. Maverin la'yakol pshav, then Hashem treats him the same way, and Hashem says kav yachol, I'm willing to forego and to over and to tolerate this person's maisim, or this pshavim. So how could Rav Chanina? Why is Rav Chanina not being moichel Rav then? The answer is Elohim, there was a special reason. Rav Chanina chel mechozelei l'Rav. Rav Chanina had seen a dream, had had a dream in which he saw Rav dezakfile b'dikwa, where they hanged Rav on a palm tree. Now, a palm tree is very tall. That's the tallest tree that they had in that part of the world at that time. So therefore, it symbolizes a Rosh Yeshiva. And in the sugya about dreams in Brachas, it mentions that a palm tree is a symbol of greatness in Torah. Also factors into that, yeah. Ugmiri, and we have the Kabbalah, Manda Zakfila Bidikla, Reshahavi, the person who sees in his dream that he's gonna be that he's hanged on a palm tree, it shows Minashamayim that he's going to become a Resha, he's going to become a Rosh Hashiva. So Rab Chanina had a dream that Rav is going to be that. Omar, so he figures to himself, Idchie Volon Didachian, better let me push him aside rather than I should be pushed aside. Meaning the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, after Rebbe passed away, now Rebbe, of course, had many roles. He was the Nasi, he was the Rosh Hashiva, he was the teacher of the whole Jewish people. So before he passed away, the Gemara in Ksubas says he parceled out the different responsibilities among different Talmidim. His son, Rabbi Gamliel, became the new Nasi, and he says, Chanina b'chama yeshe b'rosh, Rabbi Chanina is going to be the new Rosh Yeshiva of the central Yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael. You know, we're not just talking about Stam, a Yeshiva where they teach Bachar, and we're talking about a Yeshiva where the leaders of the Jewish people of the next generation are going to come out of, where the whole Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh is being transmitted in those yeshivas. So Rav Chanina is going to be the head of that yeshiva. So now what's going to happen if he's seeing that Rav is going to be a Rosh Yeshiva? It would mean that Rav Chanina is going to have to be deposed or pass away or something, and then Rav will take over. He didn't want that. So therefore he figured better let Rav be uncomfortable over here and be forced to leave the area, and he'll become a Rosh Yeshiva someplace else rather than that should happen to me. The printed Gemara has it a little more clearly. You have it in a footnote over here. Shmamino, he says, Boil Mevid Rishusa. Obviously, Minashamayim, it's destined that Rav is going to have Rishus. He's going to have tremendous power. Veloy Fais, that's why he didn't want to accept Rav's Pius. Kihecha de Lazel, Ligmar, Raisa Babel. This way, Rav will go and teach Torah in Babel rather than that I should have to pass away or something in order to make room for him. So in fact, that is what happened. We find in a few places in Gemara that eventually Rav was born in Bavel originally. He grew up there at first. Then he came to Eretz Yisrael and learned by Rebbe and became one of his senior Talmidim for many years. And now when Rav was older, he returned to Bavel. And that actually became, that when he returned to Bavel, became a real watershed moment in the history of the Jews of Bavel. And there's a few places in the Gemara where they say, Miki osa Rav Bavel. From when Rav came to Bavel, it's like a new era in Jewish history in Bavel. Like the way we talk about when the Friedrich Rebbe came to America, that's in that. Then they talk about when Rav came to Bavel. That he brought about a huge renaissance in learning Torah over there, much more than there had been before. So, and all of that was saying, so therefore that's why Rav Chanina didn't want to be moichel him, not that he wasn't really moichel him, but he wanted to make Rav uncomfortable enough that he would go to Bavel and be able to accomplish that. So from this, we learn a halacha, that if there's a valid reason, if a person is not being moichel somebody else, because it's good for the other person not to be nimchel, for example, a more typical case might be where you're concerned. If you're moichel him, then he's going to figure, okay, I got away with it, so I'll do this kind of thing again to other people. Then that's a valid reason not to be moichel him, as we have the example from this story. Okay. The Masechta finishes off, Tananabon, and Haroya Keri Biyam Kippurim. The Gemara before this is discussing a whole issue about, are you allowed to tovel on Yom Kippur? Now nowadays, this is not an issue, because the tevila from men, the Rambam explains, tevila from men nowadays is only a minhag. We're not chayev to tovel, and of course a minhag can't override the halacha of rechitz on Yom Kippur. The only one who's required up the halacha to tovel nowadays is a woman, a nida, and after all, she and her husband can't have relations on Yom Kippur anyhow, so there's no sense in toveling on Yom Kippur. So nowadays there's no concept of toveling on Yom Kippur, but back then, when there was the concept of keeping Tumah V'Tahara, then the Gemara discusses the pros and cons of when you're allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, Tananabon, Haroya Keri B'Yema Kippurim, Yored V'Tovel. He can go and Tovel on Yom Kippur, because the Gemara discusses this concept called Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah. Even though he could just wait until that night or the next day in Tovel, there was a mitzvah to Tovel in the proper time. V'la'erev Yishavshif, and in the evening, he should rub to make sure there's no chatzitzas on his body, uh, uh, the Rashi and Rashi and Tosfos Yishonim and regular Tosfos and Tosfos Yishonim deal with different angles on what exactly the Gemara itself actually asks. What I mean, what good does it do to rub it off in the evening after he's already toibled? So the Gemara explains it means Miba Erev Yashavshif. It means previously, the evening before, he should make sure to take a shower or something so that, and one way of explaining it is so that in case he becomes a Balkeri on Yom Kippur, he won't have Chatzitzis, because after all, on Yom Kippur, he can't take a regular shower before he toibles. So therefore, better he should do that Erev Yom Kippur to make sure there are no chatzitzis. That's one way of understanding it. And there are various other ways that Rishonim have of understanding it, including that it means that Yishavshif means at least before he has a chance to toivel, at least he should rub to get rid of as much of the keri on his body as possible. First of all, so it's not a chatzitza, and second of all, so he's able to dab it. So the Gemara continues, Tonet Veda Bishmol, Toni Tana Kamed Rav Nachman, Haroya Keri B'Yemek Kippurim, if a person sees an emission of keri on Yom Kippur, Avonosev Mechulin Loi, then it's a simen min Hashemayim that his averus are forgiven. So now the Gemara is going to explain in a second why, but the point is, in other words, normally a person becomes a Baal Keri is usually from Hirhuri Avera. But here, Yon Yaakov points out, he's doing all the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. He's obviously not being Maharib Avera, and still he's seeing Keri, so it must be there's something unusual and special going on over here. We'll talk about in a minute, we'll talk about a Sicha that the Rebbe talks about this. So the Gemara asks about Tanya Avonos of Sdurin Moy. What do you mean? There's another Braisa though that says his Averis are arranged for him. Mechora arranged means like they're all in a row and Hashem is ready to punish him for them one after the other. The answer is on the contrary. My Sdurin Limochel. On the contrary, arranged means they're arranged that Hashem is now going to look them over and forgive him. There's in fact an explanation, I think, from the Tzlach that says, since the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, we talked about it a day or two ago, Mavu Rishon, that Hashem takes away the first Averis and then, so to speak, ignores them when it comes to judging the person. So now Hashem is like, so to speak, arranging the Averis in a row in order to see which ones to throw out. So both of them mean the same thing. And the Gemara continues, Toni Tana Kamed Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Toni Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Haroya Keri B'Yom Kippurim, Yidag Kol Hashana Kula. A person had an emission of Keri on Yom Kippur, he should be worried throughout the whole year, because it might mean, actually, Faket, that Hashem was not willing to accept his tainus. I'll derech like you have the line in Masech Tesukah that I've shofach like kitten upon of, that you're trying to do a mitzvah, and the Eibush throws the pitcher of water in your face. It may be the same thing over here. The im also leishana. If he makes it through the year and he's still alive, muftach leishu ben olam haba, then he can be sure that he's a ben olam haba because he must have tremendous ma'asim tovim that protected him from poronos. In fact, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says you can see there's a logical reason behind it. You see, the whole rest of the world, the whole rest of the Jewish people are hungry from a lack of tashmish, whereas he can't have tashmish and Yom Kippur, but he had like so almost like the next thing to it that the Eibishter provided him, milamayla. So that shows that Hashem didn't even require him to have that inu Yom Kippur, and nevertheless he's able to be on the high level of being forgiven. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Ami b'mar rova, they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Mapishchai is such a person who had keri on Yom Kippur. He will live long. Sagi, he'll be great. Umaski, and he will become great. He'll have bonim of nebon. Rashi refers to the pasuk in Yeshaya, Yire Zera Yarech Yom. In the simple sense, the pasuk means about a tzaddik that it means the Jewish people collectively. It means Mashiach. It means end of tzaddikim. Anyway, that they will see children and they'll live a long life. But here we're understanding in a second sense, Yire Zera, because he saw Zera as in Keri on Yom Kippur. Therefore, Yarech Yom, it's a simon that he'll live long and have children.
So you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Now, not necessarily does that apply, at least on the simple sense nowadays. There's actually a tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, not a tshuva, a chidush from the Tzemach Tzedek on this part at the end of Yuma, who says nowadays, adarabah, it may sometimes happen because a person is so focused on avoiding it, that itself, that hyper-focus on it may cause him to be roya keri, and therefore it doesn't necessarily have the same effect over here of Yidag Kol Hashana Kola, etc. There's an Oitzim and Hogi Chabad, for example, it brings where one time there was a bocher in Temchat Mimim who had this happen to him, and he went to the Rebbe Shab and the Rebbe Rashab gave him certain instructions what to do during the next year. But anyway, what is this doing at the end of Masechta Yoma? Is this an appropriate way to end the Masechta? The Rebbe asks in a Hadron on Yoma and Chelik Yud Zayin. So there's actually there's two sichas back to back there in Chelik Yud Zayin plus one in Chelik Chav Dalet, which are all siyumim on Yuma that the Rebbe gave in various years. In one of them, so one of them he focuses on this Gemara, and the gist of it is explains. We had before the part, we had in the Mishnah about Rabbi Akiva's two psukim of Zarakia Lech Mayim Torim Utahartim and Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. And the idea is that he goes back further. We had before about Shuvah Me'ava and Shuvah Me'ira, where we said Shuvah Me'ava is Zdonis Naso Lech Zochis. We said, as Averis turn into mitzvahs. And we said, Marsha asked over there, what do you mean? Choyte Nisker? Why did he gain from doing an Avera? And one of the answers, Marsha himself had given the answer, because that motivates the person to do much more mitzvahs, and therefore that gives him tremendous chosim. So now the Rebbe takes that idea and develops it further, that here what it is Hashem is giving him a simen min hashamayim. You have the ability to reach the high level of tshuva me'ava. Therefore, Hashem is like giving the person this simen, and if he actually uses it as he should, and then taka is matahir himself during the year, then muftach lo shev ben elam haba, and therefore that is why that's an appropriate end for the masechta, because it shows the advantage that the person can reach, the high level that the person can reach, turning such a seemingly negative event into the most positive thing, yira zera yarech yamim, because that's really what Yom Kippur is all about. In a different sicha there, that Rebbe discusses that Rabbi Akiva's two psukim of Zarakti Alech Maim Tahorim and Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, both Rabbi Akiva, he says, is all, before we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lozim and Azariah had said that Yom Kippur is Mechaper for a person. Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi explains, is saying it's not so much Yom Kippur itself, it's the Mila of the Jewish people. The Jewish people have an intrinsic Mila because of which Hashem forgives them, not only on Yom Kippur, even during the rest of the year. Zarakti Alech, Mayim Tahorim, is not talking about Yom Kippur specifically, it's talking about a different time during the year. You're going to say that that's only Bizmana Ge'ula, because that's when that Pasuk is talking about. Therefore, you also have the Pasuk, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that even at other times, even not Bizmana Ge'ula, and even not Yom Kippur, nevertheless, a Yid is on that high level because of the Milo, Atzmis of a Yid, therefore the Eivishter forgives him and brings him close. And the Rebbe goes on to develop in that Sikha also the point about Shuva Me'ava and Shuva Me'ira. In particular, one angle on it is, and the other Sikha, is that you have Hazah, Zarakti Alechem Mayim Tahorim, requires somebody else. You need the Ish Tahor to sprinkle on you. Mashenken Mikveh, you go to yourself. So therefore, those represent Shuvah that's being done with the Eivishter's assistance versus where a person does it on his own. On the other hand, though, you have Hazah requires Tavon. Tevila doesn't require kavana. Technically, even a person falls into a mikveh, unknowingly he still becomes tahor, whereas hazah, the person has to have in mind that he's being sprinkled with kod adrim or water, so therefore that represents the other angle on it, which is, you're talking about a tshuva, where the person has kavana to do it, versus where he's not even having kavana, but the Eivishter does it, for the Eivishter helps him, the Eivishter helps him along, even without him realizing it. And then in another one of those sichas that Eber discusses also the point we had before, we had a couple of days ago, the machloikas, where the tzorech lefaret is a chet. When a person is saying vidri, does he need to specify the chet or not? And we said Rabbi Akiva says he doesn't need to. So that Eber develops the idea, because again, since Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah is focusing on tshuva me'ava, So from the point of view of tshuva me'ava, there's no difference between one avera and the other. All of them are nas and kazachias, and therefore there's no need to be mefaret as a chet. One more piece, he says over here, Sechta Tainis, you have a short piece about Shuvah, which is appropriate to put over here. Tanan Abanan, Adam Shiyesh B'yodeh Averas M'svadeh Ve'enech Choizabah, a person who has an Avera and says Vidui, but doesn't actually go back and regret the Avera and then stop doing it. L'mahu Doimah, what is he like? L'adam Shetofas B'yodeh Sheretz, it's like a person holding a Sheretz in his hand, Shafila Tovah B'chol Memes Shuma Olam, even if he Tovahs and all the water is in the world, like also by Tevila, the Tevila won't help because he's still Tomei from the Sheretz. Zoke M'yodeh, once he throws it away from his hand, M'yad also by Tevila, then right away the Tevila helps him. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, a Moed of Oizim Yerucham, a person who not only confesses the Avera, but abandons it, and as the Rambam phrases it, Lo Yoshev Oid L'Kisla, the Rambam phrases it, Yoid Olav Yedea Talumas, Hashem himself who knows all the secrets can testify on him that he'll never do it again. Yerucham, Hashem will have Rachmanis on him. V'oimen, we also have the Pasuk, Nisil of Avenu al Kapoyim, we will lift up our hearts to Kapoyim, which means to Shemayim. Kapoyim also means the cloud, so up to Shemayim, El Keol Bashemayim, to Hashem and Shemayim. So in other words, we're not just going to say an insincere vidui, we're going to actually mean it and lift up our hearts to Hashem and resolve that we're never going to do these things again. Hadron Alach Perakim Akpur Maslich Lam Sephi Yom. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Meshchoy Deshvat. We know that today is the day when Moshe Rabbeinu started explaining the Torah to the Jewish people. So that's it. He explained it b'shivim loshen. That's negeah to every yid's avoda, because every yid has a Moshe Rabbeinu in him. On Rosh Chodesh Shvat, there's a special Mesinas Koyach in every yid's avoda to be able to spread Torah and Yiddishkeit in all the shivim loshen. That applies to Jews where we have to teach them in the shivim loshen because they don't understand loshen Kodesh yet. And lahavdil, it also has to do with influencing the goyim to accept the shev mitzvah b'nei Noach. So today we have a special Mesinas Koyach for that. Halachas, continuing on halachas of kiddush. In kiddush, shall makam suda both by night and by day, because the karosel of Shabbos oneg, where you're going to declare Shabbos with kiddush, then you have to have the oneg of Shabbos. So therefore, if you make kiddush in one place and eat in a different place, even if you had that in mind, you're not yotze. You have to eat something right after kiddush. If not, then you're also not yotze. By day, and the Alter Rebbe holds also by night. If you don't want to eat the actual suda, then fine, you can eat some mezonos. Then you still do need to drink a revius of the kois in order to make ala michya and ala gofen. This a person can even do if necessary before musaf if he's feeling weak. So if he drinks two revius, and then many posts can hold, and the Alter Rebbe is among them, that's also good enough, and then that's also considered kiddush b'makom suda. Yeah. What about in the case where there's a bris and the moil didn't do kiddush yet? Then he drinks a kimloy lugma plus a revius. If not, then he should drink a revius, a whole revius, and with that he's yotze, because again, this is before the we're talking about where the bris is being done before musaf. And again, there's not necessarily going to be a suda there, because the suda it may well be elsewhere. So therefore, he's drinking from the kois hamila before kiddush. So therefore, that's what we're saying, that he's drinking only kimloy lugmav and then a revius, and with that, at least that way he can make a bracha acharon.
So because
Einos and mitzvahs chavilas. What he seems to say over here is because he didn't make kiddush yet, normally he's not allowed to drink before kiddush, but here he has to drink from the cup of the bris milah, so he has to drink enough to be able to make a brach achron afterwards. That because there's an exception over here, because you have to drink, for you have to drink from the cup. That's what it seems to be. Maybe it means that he hasn't mind.